Thanks, Karen. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, Dermot. Thank you very much. Good afternoon on this Monday afternoon. How are you? How was your weekend? If you have anything to tell us, 51551 or ray@rte.ie. I've loads to tell you. We were in Laura Lynn yesterday up beside Leopardstown Racecourse, switching on the Christmas lights. And it's a very special place. I've talked about it before, and it was particularly special yesterday, I think, because the people there hadn't been together for 3 years because of COVID. The switching on of the Christmas lights was done remotely virtually for the last couple of years. So everyone was out yesterday. We had a lovely day. It was cold, but it was dry, which is important. And little Katie, who lost her little sister, Grace, she helped me switch on the lights. And I chatted to loads of people there, Siobhan and Bernadette, and there was Kevin and loads of other people, and hello to everybody I met yesterday. It was lovely to meet everybody and to be out and all that sort of thing, and the crepes and churros and tacos and all sorts of things. And then one of the days we went to see Matilda the Musical. It's in the cinemas now with Emma Thompson and Alicia Weir. You may have seen her on the Late Late Show a couple of weeks ago. She is phenomenal, doobie. She's from Dublin and she plays the part of Matilda, and she is beyond brilliant. It's a long time since I've seen a performance as good from somebody that age. And she's so much to do and so many scenes to carry because, of course, she's in the title role. So she's nearly in every scene, and she has to sing, she has to dance, she has to act. She reminds me of a young Saoirse Ronan, because a lot of the time she has to, you know, portray or, you know, a feeling, an emotion without saying anything. And that's, I think, often the sign of a good actor, where they can do that with just, you know, something with their eyebrows or something with their mouth or something with their eyes. And Alicia Weir is a star of the future. Well, she's a star now. Highly recommend it is Matilda the Musical. I see it didn't get great reviews, but I forget about it. Sure didn't. The Greatest Showman got something like 1 star from one reviewer back in the day. And look at that. I think it's one of the highest grossing musical movies of all times, it is. So that's that. And then we watched, of course, I'm a Celebrity, the final. Jill Scott won. If you weren't watching it, she plays football for England. We did play football for England. She's an MBE. She's one of the Lionesses. And she's just one of these people because, you know, you can pretend to be somebody for a while when you go into something like I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. But eventually the mask will slip. And your true personality will be revealed. Unless, of course, you're Matt Hancock, who has studied the whole thing and decided who he's going to be and what message he's going to put out there, because he is a politician after all. Anyway, Jill Scott, she was crowned Queen of the Jungle. And she's just all the good stuff. You know, she's warm, engaging, funny, caring, compassionate. She can dance. She's great crack and a deserving winner. And then Owen came second, the man who talked about nothing but food. And then Matt Hancock, oddly enough, I'd say for a lot of people, came in third place. And again, he was asked, as he was asked a lot of the times in the jungle, why did he do it? This time he was asked by Ant and Dec, and this was his response.
I just wanted to show what I'm just like as a person. People have, you know, lots of people come to me with preconceived ideas, mm-hmm, for obvious reasons, and I just wanted to be myself.
Is he really being himself, though? We'll never know. He must be chuffed that he came third. I was trying to figure out why he was kept in for so long. Of course, he's a politician. The whole Conservative Party would have been behind him, wouldn't they? And then when they saw he was being picked on a little bit at the start, they go, oh, you're not going to do that to our man. So they would have voted. 12 million people voted for the final, which means that Jill Scott got over 6 million votes. It's huge over there. I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. It's been going for 21 years. what happened before the streaming services? Because there's a plethora of Christmas movies now, and I have to say that the quality leaves a lot to be desired. I was thinking of making one myself. That's how bad they are. We watched Falling for Christmas. Lindsay Lohan stars in it, and she hasn't appeared in a movie for a long time now. For the last decade. Excuse me while I cough. I have a little one of those dry coughs that I can't get rid of. Anyway, she was in it, and it's the plot line is so predictable. You know, it's predictable as day following night. So she is spoiled rich kid. Her dad owns a chain of hotels. And she falls in love, or Maria, with an influencer. And then she gets a bang on the head while she's skiing. And of course, she loses her memory. And that's when we find out who she really is. And she meets this guy who's down on his luck, running a lodge of sorts. And you know what happens next. There's no spoilers here, lads, because you can predict from the moment it starts what's going to happen. Falls in love with him. He has lost his wife. There's a little child involved. And eventually, after putting it off and putting it off, there is a kiss. The reason I'm telling you about this is, I go, stop that, pause that, look back there, spool it back. She has a stand-in for the kiss, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. So she's there and it's leading up to this one kiss. You know, that this is, it's sort of sealing their relationship. And it's not Lindsay Lohan, it's somebody else. And then I looked up Lindsay Lohan and kisses, and seemingly, this isn't the first time. In Scary Movie 5, she had some sort of clause which stated that she didn't have to kiss Charlie Sheen in that movie. So there's a no kiss clause, and Santa Claus was in the movie as well because it's a Christmas one. So Falling for Christmas, even if it's just to spot that part of it, it's on Netflix, and it's a stand-in. And then we did a deep dive because Aaron Eve is brilliant and that sort of thing, and we found a picture of her with her stand-in with a wig on, same coat, all of that. So she was obviously. Why? Explain that to me. Why you would be a star in a movie and have written into your contract that you weren't going to kiss your fellow star? Speaking of stars and movies and all that sort of thing, Martin Scorsese was attending the Economic Club of Chicago's annual dinner, and he was being interviewed, and he was asked, "What's he watching at the moment?" So here we go. Martin Scorsese, been interviewed by a man. This is the man, and then you'll hear Martin Scorsese.
What are you watching now?
I watched the other night Derry Girls. Those nuns.
Those nuns. Writer Lisa McGee, who wrote Derry Girls, responded to the video with a tweet saying, "Excuse me while I drop dead and actually die a death." And Siobhan McSweeney, who plays Sister Michael in the award-winning Derry Girls, had a similar sentiment this morning after she saw it. "Good morning, I'm dead. D-E-D," she said alongside a tweet of the clip. Isn't that brilliant? Martin Scorsese is watching Derry Girls. That's great. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. I better tell you about our Christmas show, because we're doing Christmas at the castle, or in the castle, on December 9th. Which is a Friday, and it's the day after December 8th. I knew that. And we're broadcasting live from Bedford Hall in Dublin Castle. And we're looking for you to come along and be in our audience. We are, yes. It's going to be beautiful and Christmassy. There's a market in the square outside the Bedford Hall. So there'll be mulled wine and all sorts of things, mince pies. And we'll have mulled wine and mince pies for you. A few surprises along the way. There'll be choirs, performers, funny people, funny other people. It'd just be a lovely afternoon, Christmas in the castle, and we're looking for you to come along. And if you want to be in our audience, we'll have about 50 or 60 people. It's rte.ie/Ray, and you'll find us there, and just fill in a very small little application form, and we look forward to seeing you on the afternoon of December 9th. It's a lovely room. We were down there. And you'll be able to go through the market on your way in and probably on your way out as well. So it'll be a lovely afternoon. And maybe you might get in a bit of Christmas shopping if you're from down the country. Remember back in the day when December the 8th was that traditional day when all the cultures like myself used to travel up on the train and do the shopping. Things have changed because most big towns now have the same on offer as Dublin has to offer. And then, of course, you can shop online as well. Matt Hancock came across as a really lovely man. The hate is so unnecessary. Yeah, I just couldn't help think that he was. It was a show. It was a facade. It was a mask. He went in there on purpose, and it was all very studied. Maybe I was wrong. I don't know. Now, ray@rte.ie. We got this in over the weekend, and it is a time when Christmas parties are starting and there'll be a lot of people going to the hairdressers. So this is probably a story that's been echoed around the country, or maybe not. Ray, I woke up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night. Ever since I got my reminder text about my hairdresser's appointment, I've been up to high dough. Now, don't get me wrong. Usually this text is met with a sense of glee and anticipation. The mere thought of a hairdresser's visit has me dizzy with joy, just thinking about the 2 hours of pampering and switching off. The coffee even tastes better when you're sitting there with a towel around your neck, all while getting the goss as you get that pile of straw on top of your head transformed into a lustrous bouffant. Oh, I know well. And don't get me started on the washing part. Lying on a massage chair, getting your head massaged while they pump out pop tunes. Heaven, heaven. But now my usual giddiness has turned to dread. Because do you know what I did, Ray? Didn't I miss my last appointment when I was off with COVID? No problem there. It was my atrocious actions in between that has me fretting and sweating here. Oh, you're fretting and sweating. Sorry to hear that. Let me start by prefacing that I was in a panic. It all happened so quickly. I had a work event. Everyone had been preparing for it for weeks. But as usual, I left everything too late. Last minute. It was black tie and my hair would have put Wurzel Gummidge to shame. While I was desperately searching for my eyeliner in the back of the bathroom press, I happened upon a box of hair dye. It must have been a lockdown leftover. What happened next was a bit of a haze, but before I knew it, there was red paste in my hair underneath the shower cap. Now my day of preening is going to start with a confessional. I can imagine the bowed, disappointed head of the hairdresser as I tell him that I threw all his good work out the window in a flurry. Why, oh why, did I do it? And why am I so petrified of divulging my bad decision? Should I call ahead to warn him? I can't even sit with my head hanging in shame because he'll need me to look up for an even cut. Oh, you poor thing. Yeah, I suppose hairdressers are sort of reach godlike status for some people. And there you are with your DIY dye, heading back to your hairdresser. And I'm sure people have been in that situation before, and I'm sure people have advised you. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. Falling for Christmas is just overboard with snow, but overboard had better actors. Aha, says Maeve in Cork. It's not, I don't know how they get funding. You see, that's the streaming model. They pay them up front. And they just go, oh, that's you, Lindsay. We have Lindsay Lohan. Yeah, there's 5 million. Go off and make a movie. We don't care how good or bad it is. And then they probably have to fill their schedules with 5 or 6 Christmas movies. That's the way it seems to be working these days. Now, 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. I'll tell you about our quiz after this. A gentle Monday afternoon tune, Mark Cohen, Walking in Memphis. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. We're looking for 2 people to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in our Reel in the Ears quiz. 3 questions on bits of songs, news reports, TV shows and movies. And we have a prize. And this week, it's 2 nights B&B plus 1 dinner at Fota Island Resort. Relax in luxury in one of the gorgeous suites overlooking the 780 acres of lush countryside. Unwind at Fota Island Spa or experience a game of golf on one of the 3 magnificent championship golf courses. There are also many dining options throughout the resort, including fine dining at the Cove Restaurant and all-day dining at the Amber Lounge. So you can get vouchers there if you want to go on. Fotaisland.ie, Fotaisland.ie. It's a 2-night stay for 2 people with dinner on one of the evenings. And here is your qualifying question. On this Monday afternoon, director Martin Scorsese has revealed he's been watching which Channel 4 TV comedy? Derry Girls or Kerry Girls? Director Martin Scorsese has revealed he's been watching which Channel 4 TV comedy, Derry Girls or Kerry Girls? 0818715925, 0818715925, and good luck with that. And we could be talking to you after 4 o'clock.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray at rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Sinead Dundon is on the Parents Committee of the Bandon Grammar School and she joins us on the line now. Hello, Sinead.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Great. You're coming in loudly and clearly.
Is that too loudly now?
No, it's perfect. It is perfect. It's perfect. The reason we're talking to you is that the Bandon Grammar School launched a cookbook last week, and this is the first time they've done such a thing since 1977, 45 years ago.
So,
why and how and whose idea was it?
Right. Well, I suppose if you go back to, first of all, to 1977, that particular book was the parents' response to a need for fundraising for an extension to the school at the time. Mm. So kind of fast forward to 2020, we were all stuck at home, eating ourselves inside out, I think, at the time. And I suppose one of our folks from the Parents Association Committee, Heather, was at home and found her mother-in-law's copy of the 1977 cookbook and had a good browse through it and came and talked to us all about it. And as luck would have it, we were looking for a fundraising idea for the Parents Association. Mm. And we just kind of went, yeah, there's a really good idea. That was back when we were innocent, I think.
Well, you see, oftentimes with these fundraising projects, if you thought it through, you probably never do it.
Well, this is it. I mean, we've kind of said, you know, we're leaving this time capsule for our grandchildren going, do not even think about doing this, you know.
I love that. But it's done. It's done. That's the brilliant thing. And it's out there,
well,
which is great.
It is. Yeah, it is, you know. And it was a fantastic night last Thursday night. And I think what blew us away, because I suppose we're a group of amateurs. So Parents Association is 16 people, but there was a subcommittee of 6 people. Mm. And I suppose we just kind of, you know, kind of lurched our way through it, and we're complete novices. So all of this was like, what do we do now? Yeah. And how do we fix that? And, you know, but by the time we got to last Thursday night, you know, we kind of had such an amount of help from local businesses, just in terms of the local printers, Band and Print Services, if I can give them a call out for all of the help that they gave us. And, you know, just we then did a food fair to kind of launch the cookbook on the night. And so many great local producers showed up to that. And it just made such an event of the night, if you know what I mean, as opposed to, you know, you roll up, you have your cup of tea and you go home. There was such a buzz around the school because of it.
How many pages?
240 pages, Ray.
Wow.
And absolutely.
When you got it into your hand for the first time, Sinead, that's a very special moment, isn't it?
Which would have been about 3:30 the day before the launch. So just, you know, it was like that. But there had been, we just had such, I mean, I think the first time we saw the proof, it was just amazing to see it, because I suppose we'd put so much work into kind of the collection of the recipes and all of that. But your heart kind of stops when you see it. And admittedly, then we started looking and went, oh my God, there's so much work to do in it. But at the same time, just seeing it in reality was really something, you know, and it still is now.
The reason you got so much coverage is that back in 1977, the cover was designed by
Graham Walker.
Yes, who's now known as
Graham Norton.
See, if that came up in a pub quiz, I wouldn't have known the answer to that.
Oh, would you?
No.
There you go.
There you go, yeah.
You learned something.
So he...
I learned something as well.
So he was obviously good at art back in the day, probably still is.
I would have thought so, yeah.
Yeah. So will you talk us through it? Is it two deers stirring a pot? Is that it?
Well, that's it. And that kind of takes its cue from the school crest. And so the school is like, it's been around since 1642. Mm-hmm. But the crest is basically, it features two deer in it, so it's kind of a play on that. And the cover of the latest cookbook kind of follows through on that theme as well. Mm. So that's where it came from.
And is he a regular visitor? It being his alma mater.
He is a great supporter of the school, Ray. Quietly, which I always admire about him, because he never really makes a big thing of coming back. The last time he visited, it was to launch the history of Bandon Grammar School, which was a book written by our former headmaster Ian Coombs. And he just gives freely of his time in those sort of situations. We invited him this time around if he'd like to attend, but unfortunately, given the timing, he wasn't able to. But
he's busy with a TV show or something, is he?
Something snazzy like that, right? Yeah, you know?
Yeah. I'm fascinated, just to tease out just a little bit before we let you go, about that thing, because there's so many people around the country doing fundraising projects, and there is that thing where they're probably going into the unknown. What did you learn from the whole process from 2020 when you came up with the idea to last Thursday when it was launched?
Oh, Lord, we could write another book on that for you. Yeah. I suppose the one thing is that you need a dedicated group of people. And in fairness to the 6 of us who were involved in this, and then the wider group of people that we kind of pulled on as we went through this, none of these fundraising activities happen on their own. And if they do, fair play to anybody who can pull it off. But definitely, there's that saying, it takes a village, and it really does.
Yeah.
And just this, but I think the other thing that I would take from all of this is just the goodwill that people have, be it towards a school or whatever it is, but there is just such goodwill that you can tap into. Mm. And even in these straitened times, you know, because I remember having a conversation with one lady in the hall on Thursday night, and she had so kindly sponsored an ad in the book, and she came up to me on the night and she said, "Why didn't you come to us for a spot prize?" And I was kind of there looking at her going, "Well, you very generously sponsored an ad. We weren't going to tap you up again for something like this." And she absolutely shouldn't have thought twice about it.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the atmosphere that came through. People are just so willing to help.
And has the band and people's eating habits changed in those 45 years?
Oh, hugely. Because I remember laughing as we looked at it. I mean, I suppose in 1977, in some ways, the book was kind of ahead of its time because it had a gluten-free section.
Right.
But this time around, the number of vegan recipes that came in meant we had to kind of move those, you know, kind of feature those and put a focus on them. So that was one change. But we also had a good laugh one night as we looked at the recipes that came in. And in some ways, some things never change, you know, because, you know, we can safely say to you that the people abandoned, they love brown bread, they love meat,
yeah,
and they love sugar.
Right,
yeah. You know, you can look at those. And I suppose, you know, the making a decision about what you include and what you don't include, we weren't brave enough to cut any of the brown bread recipes. We kind of went, no, there's enough variation there within all of the 10 recipes to kind of go, yep, we'll keep all of those in there. But,
yeah, yeah.
You know, so in that
sense. Can people who are listening today, can they get it online, or what's the story?
So we're looking at an online option. Again, another of our little learning projects, I suppose, as part of all of this. But it can be purchased through the office in the school. So Val in the office there would be more than happy to help anybody and relieve them of their 25 quid if they want to rock up and do that. Also on sale through Bandon Books in Bandon, O'Farrell's and Hickey's, and in Coughlin's Bookshop in Clonakilty as well.
Great. Congratulations to everybody involved, particularly the
thank you so much.
The six-person committee. Sinead Dundon there from the subcommittee and the parents' committee of Bandon Grammar School. Thanks, Sinead.
Thanks, Ray. Take care.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Last Wednesday, over 67,000 students received their junior cycle results. A small portion of those students went an alternative route with their education and got their results after going through the CMS Learning Centre, which is run by the Peter McVerry Trust in Dublin. The CMS Learning Centre in Dublin City Centre works with young people who cannot access mainstream education due to a number of circumstances and may have already left school at a young age. James Flanagan has gone through the system. James joins me in studio. How are you doing, James?
Good, you?
Good to see you. And Pat Doyle, CEO of the Peter McVerry Trust, joins as well. How are you doing, Pat?
Oh, you're right.
We spotted this story in the Irish Times a few weeks ago, James, your story. It's a good news story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is,
what
yeah.
reaction did you get after it appeared in the paper?
A lot of people coming up to me and asking me, how did you do it? How did you get through CMS?
Yeah.
And how did you not fall into what's around you? Like the environment that I live in, it's not a good environment. It's not good if you want to achieve new things and go through life and succeed. It's just misery and just violence everywhere.
Right. So you were against the odds that you are where you are today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your mum's outside.
Yeah.
She's listening in. She's very proud of you. Yeah. So tell us a bit about your background then. So what's your first memory?
First memory? Yeah. Well, my first memory was when I was homeless and I was living in a car with my mother. But I was like 2-3 years. I was only 2-3 years old. So
right.
It's hard to remember. My mother would know more.
Yeah.
Not more than me. But
that's not a great start, is it?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
And then afterwards we got moved into places and then we finally settled in Stanhope Green.
Right.
And once I'd done that, I tried to go to the nearest school, St. Paul's CBS, probably would have that one. I moved into there, done that, and it just wasn't working for me. It was like the attention to me was just not there.
How many were in the class?
40,
yeah.
Probably.
Yeah,
and like only about 10 of them know what's going on, and the others don't.
Yeah.
So,
And it's there shouldn't be 40 students in a
classroom.
No,
there shouldn't be. There's not enough attention to them. There's only one teacher and 40 other people. It's not
difficult it's not for everybody involved. Yeah. So when did you realise that maybe the traditional educational system wasn't for you or wasn't working for you?
It's when I started to realise that and getting older. Well, not older, but I was like 15. I was realising, all right, how long am I going to be in school? School's a long process. You could be in school till you're 20 years of age. Do I want to be in school till I'm 20 years of age? Is there any shortcuts? Is there any way out? And I thought there was none. Everyone kept telling me, if you leave school, that's it. Your mother gets in trouble. You probably end up homeless, on drugs, whatever. And that's what I thought. I thought, and that's the fear. You can't leave. It's like prison.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what to do. And then eventually, I just said it to my mother, I don't want to be here anymore. Is there any way out? She found a school counsellor, and they finally brought me to CMS Learning Centre. And had an interview with them, got tore around, and I thought this totally different to mainstream, and it felt way more comfortable.
Right.
It felt more of a home than a school.
How many pupils per class?
I think per class, I think it's like 4.
Right.
Or 5, yeah.
Okay, so completely different.
Totally different.
No uniforms?
No.
Relationships with teachers?
Having a bunch of your family around. It's like they know exactly what you're feeling, what you're going through. Like a teacher wouldn't know what 40 other students are doing, but there's 4 people in the class, you know exactly what they're going.
Right.
Or he's going out to there, he's going out to that, he's feeling that, she's feeling that.
Yeah.
So
if you had a tough weekend at home or whatever.
They know how to treat you. They won't go hard on you. Like a teacher wouldn't really care if you're going through a hard time. They have to deal with the class.
It's very tough on teachers though, if they have 40 pupils. It's just nearly impossible to know. But the CMS allowed the teachers to have this relationship with you to know what's going on in your life, and that's so important.
Mm.
Yeah, and I suppose to empathise, you know, that because you're difficult background.
Yeah.
So they understood that.
Mm.
Yeah. So describe then, if you would, just how it changed the CMS, because initially, right, you're getting to know people.
Mm.
So when did you realise then that this is something that could work for you?
It was like when I first stepped in the door, I felt like, all right, it is my first day here, so I'll see how it goes. And I went constantly, kept going, never missed a day. So I was always with the teachers, always talking to them, getting to know them better. And getting to know them better, I could see, all right, these don't want me to just, all right, you go get a job, that's it, see you later. They want to know how I get on, make sure I get to the job, make sure I succeed in life, which they're doing more than they're paid to.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what they do. Like a teacher wouldn't. So
yeah. So where do you find these teachers, Pat?
yeah, it's very difficult.
They sound like superhumans.
Yeah, well, it is very difficult. But I suppose it's around ethos. It's around understanding what the goal and purpose is. And I suppose our purpose is to accompany young people and to try to make sure they're included in education and to make sure that they have choices and options. And so what James has described is a fantastic way to describe it. Each class has a teacher, but they also have a social care worker in the class as well. So there's actually 2 adults in the class for every 4 to 5 kids. So it's very resource intensive, but well worth it, because we've 2 of these centres and 18 kids got the junior cert last week across the 2 centres, and one of them got 10 merits. So it's fantastic.
And the change in your life as a result, it's hard to quantify, isn't it?
Yeah. The way to explain it, it's like people have dreams and they chase their dreams. It's like the opposite of me. It's like the dreams are chasing me. So that's
cool. Well, right. Your dreams are chasing you.
Yeah, it's like they're catching up on me. I'm not expecting them.
All right. Yeah. Do you ever think about what might have happened if you weren't introduced to CMS?
Well, I always had assumptions to think of what's going to happen to me. I always thought either I'm trapped and that's it. I'm either going to go homeless or I'm going to fall into drugs because I'm not doing that. And every day I'm just probably on the labour getting, 100 a week. That's it. And I'll probably spend half of it on drugs or half on whatever.
Mm.
But the other good side of it, I thought I'd be an entrepreneur. But that's like a big stretch. So.
But you're only 18.
Yeah.
I suppose that's
never
the thing.
Say never.
You're still so young. And you have men twice your age under you, so to speak.
Yeah, it's weird.
You're responsible for them.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
It's a big toll on me. So, like, you're working with grown men and they have families and kids. And you have to make sure they go home to their families and kids safe, because I am the supervisor. And you're walking in a very dangerous area. Like, you could die instantly if you don't do it, if you have a bad day. If you feel
there's a lot of heavy machinery around the place. Right. And you're a supervisor. How many people do you work with?
I could work with, that depends. I could work with like 8 and then I could work with like 2.
Yeah.
So.
Pat, it is, education is so important. I was talking to your mum outside and she went, education. Yeah. And you can't overstress it.
No, and that's exactly what I think. When I remember meeting Enda Kenny years ago at a conference, and he asked me what was the secret to curing homelessness, and I said education, because we have many young people like James, some people with tougher backgrounds and stories, and some people the same as James, and they all have a lot in common. But one of the things they have in common is they all left school early. And so we're spending the trust, you know, with government funding and charities fund donations and all, about 50 million a year tackling homelessness and, you know, kind of trying to put out fires, you know. So when this opportunity came up as a kind of a prevention project, we said, like, let's try, you know, it's only 45 kids we're working with this year, you know, but it's every young person can make a difference.
But that's so important.
It is. Yeah.
People forget that you have the big policies and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it's everything is small little things.
Small little things that
make the difference.
Yeah. And we're kind of tracking this now and we're doing a bit of research with it. And I mean, our goal is to give James the experience he wants, but our overall goal is to make sure that none of those young people end up in homes.
Yeah,
you know, because that's another label. You know, they've had the early school leaving label and the poverty label, and James had the homeless label as a very young child, but he doesn't need it again.
Mm.
And now he has a label of working.
So this is proactive as opposed to reactive, because a lot of your work is, as you say, putting out fires.
Yeah.
So the damage has been done in a way.
Yeah, and you're trying to get back. I mean, like it is fantastic if people key to the door, and, you know, and when they do, they want to do 3 things: re-engage with family, go back to school, and get a job. So with the likes of the lads and the girls with in James's groups now, we're kind of trying to cut out the homeless bit and the misery in the middle, and let's get them through education, get them employment, and let them make their way like everybody else.
Yeah. Because there's a cycle, isn't there?
There is.
Have you seen the cycle in your community?
Yeah, I've seen it. There's a lot of homelessness in my community at the moment. There's too much of it. Like, Ireland at the moment is overpopulated with a lot of people and there's barely any homes.
Mm.
And even if there is homes, half of them cost, $500,000 at least. So it's stuff people on the labour couldn't afford. And most people are on the labour because they have no choice. They don't want to work or they can't work. So it's very dangerous for people because homelessness could lead to death because you're sleeping on the streets, especially winter at the moment. There's probably at least a couple of people, I hope not, but could end up deceased.
This winter, yeah. So you mentioned you want to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. I always wanted to start my own company, but it's kind of getting there, but it's a big, big thing.
What in what area?
Kind of the same area I'm in, like engineering and technician, stuff like that, making machinery. Well,
yeah. So you're working out on the Intel
campus.
Yeah. And the company you work for are employed by Intel. Yeah. Great. So leaving cert, junior cert, and then you make sure that people go into third level in a trade or whatever. Is that the way it works?
Absolutely. Back? We have an activation team as well now that are trying to get people jobs. A lot of the young people go back to their school of origin to do the leaving cert. Some of them don't want to go back there because the memories are not great. So we'll set them up at a different school for leaving cert if they want, or they can stay with us. And then some people want to go on to trades. We had one young person left to become a tattoo artist.
Nice.
Do you know, and there's big money in that, as you know. I certainly have a daughter who, you know, is paying away for tattoos, you know. So, but what we're really trying to do is make sure nobody leaves CMS or the Caroline Learning Centre, that's the other centre, without having a pathway.
Okay.
So it's all the time, but what are you doing next? What are you doing next? What are you doing next?
And I know there's the Life Centre down in Cork.
Yeah, that's a great centre.
Don O'Leary, we spoke to him a few years ago. But there should be places like this all over the country.
Oh, absolutely. I live in Kildare. You know, you're from Kildare yourself. They have the highest population of young people. Huge population in North Kildare. They don't have a centre like this. So the Trust would like to open one in North Kildare because we have a huge amount of homelessness in the commuter belt as well. And, you know, we've had kids travelling from different parts of Kildare to come up to the Caroline Learning Centre in Maynooth or in Nuken or on into the city to CMS. And that shouldn't be the way it is. So we're really good in this country doing pilots. Do you know, we're not too good at mainstreaming, you know, so we need to mainstream this, because if there's 45 kids in every county that need something like this, then they could all end up either in addiction or in homelessness or, you know, in prison. And as you know, it costs 80,000 a year to put someone in custody. So
James is living proof that it works.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Congratulations, James.
We're very good at the reactive in this country and not so good at the proactive.
Yeah.
Just on general stuff, Pat, you know, the latest figures, 11,397 people are homeless in Ireland, and 3,480 of those are children. You know, we're talking about this for how many years now?
I'll be 34 years in the sector next February, the 23rd. I think there was about 2,000 people when I came in. So that's probably a sign that we've failed drastically, you know, and not a good place to be in. I mean, it's the highest number, and 3,000 of them are kids. And, you know, you're talking long-term damage there to people, you know, and misery, you know, and people have so many labels. And now on top of poverty and on top of early school, even, and now it's homelessness. So it's quite dismal at the moment. I try to see the glass half full, but it's very hard some days, you know. And CMS, and CMS and the Caroline Nairne Centre was our little way as well of trying to perfect change in the long term. But at the moment, the numbers are just going the wrong way.
Yeah. And we're going to have, unfortunately, stories like James predict there during the winter, aren't we? That's the reality of it. It happens every year.
All the time.
Yeah. James, lovely to meet you and your mum. Thanks so much for coming in and sharing your story, and good luck with whatever happens in the future. We might have you back on here when you're a successful entrepreneur. Pat, good to see you.
Thank you very much, mate.
Thanks so much.
Thanks to your listeners.
Happy Christmas.
Thanks.
Take care.
Right, quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, we spoke to Gráinne O'Brien last month. Gráinne had come into possession of a little bear named Bonnie. Bonnie was shared with Gráinne while on a flight home from Sweden, with a note asking to be taken care of and taken on an adventure of a lifetime. Well, it seemed like Bonnie was in great hands. Children's book buyer Gráinne told us that she was delighted to have her and shared her plans with us, one of those being a guest at her upcoming wedding. Well, at the weekend, Gráinne and her fiancé TJ got married in Limerick, and she joins us now to tell us about one special guest at the wedding, the teddy bear, Bonnie. Hello, Gráinne.
Hi, Ray. How's it going?
Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you again, too.
I was just thinking there again while reading out the introduction that you were on a flight and some complete stranger of a child handed you a teddy bear. That's how it happened, isn't it?
Yes, indeed.
And it was traced back to a school in Sweden, and their teacher had decided just to do this project.
Yeah, it was brilliant. And actually, I've been emailing the teacher back and forth with different pictures of Bonnie and stuff. And one of the things that she said to me was she really wanted Bonnie to go to Australia. And we had a wedding guest who's home from Australia, but he's staying till Christmas. And I just felt like, but the spirit of Bonnie is that she needs to keep moving. And I'd held her on, you know, I held on to her enough. So I think her next adventure was probably the better choice for me to make.
I think it was okay. I think everyone would agree it's okay that you held on to Bonnie for your wedding, because it's a big day. Great pictures, by the way, and congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yourself and TJ look like a lovely couple. And there's Bonnie, which completes the family. And now Bonnie's gone. But so before we get back to Bonnie, so how did it go, the wedding?
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah, it was absolutely brilliant. I'm still kind of shocked with how well everything went, and everybody seemed to have a great time. We had a great party and brilliant guests, and Bonnie, everybody was asking for Bonnie. Where's the bear?
Guest of honour, Bonnie.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you do a first dance? Was it choreographed or what happened?
It wasn't choreographed, Our first dance was Kiss by Prince. We really just wanted to get the party started straight away, and the band rose to the occasion.
Rather than a slow song.
Get straight into it,
So by the end of the song, everyone had joined you on the dance floor?
Everyone was on the dance floor, and they were still dancing 6 hours later.
Wow, brilliant. Okay, back to Bonnie then. So where is Bonnie at the moment?
Bonnie is currently in the possession of one of my closest friends. Her name is Etha Shepherd. She came home for 6 days for the wedding from Taiwan.
Right.
And she is going back to Taiwan tomorrow with Bonnie on her person.
So Aoife is bringing Bonnie back. And what's the plan then when she gets back to Taiwan?
So Aoife teaches a class that is the same age as Bonnie's class in Sweden.
Right.
So I would imagine a lot of fun pictures in that class. And also, I believe there is a trip to the Philippines in the future for Bonnie as well, with Aoife and her partner. And after that, I have handed Bonnie over. You know, Aoife is now in charge.
She's responsible now, yeah. And just in talking to and fro with the teacher from Sweden, what do they hope is going to happen to Bonnie?
So, yeah, so I said they really want her to get to Australia and they really want her to get to America. So I suppose if there's any Irish people that are in Taiwan that are planning to go to Australia or America, or you know anyone over there, I'm sure Aoife can't be the only Irish person over there. That might be something that you guys could sort
yes,
out.
Yeah. Well, you put the call out there. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they really want Bonnie back by May. So hopefully, you know, she'll make her way back home. But I think there are people, and Aoife is definitely one of them, that just get really into it. And actually, Aoife's partner, who's from Paraguay, saw the bear and was like, "What's the story with the bear?" And I gave him like a quick recap. And every 5 minutes, he was like, "So the teddy bear is coming with us, right? Like, where's the teddy bear?" He wouldn't let Bonnie out of his eyesight for the rest of the night. So.
What a brilliant idea. It's caught everybody's imagination. So I'm just looking at one of the pictures with you, with Bonnie. Everyone's dancing behind you, having the crack.
Yeah.
And then, so there's a label attached and it says what? Just remind us.
Yeah, so the label is Bonnie's instructions. So basically is the email address for where you can send her pictures. There's an Instagram page attached to her. It explains where she's come from and explains what the class is trying to do.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what about your honeymoon?
Well, we are going away in February, so we're going to the Maldives. I wasn't going to hang on to her for that long. If she somehow manages to find her way back to me, I'll absolutely take her with me to the Maldives. That's absolutely no problem. But
that's lovely. The Maldives, you lucky thing.
I know.
Yeah. So that'll keep you warm through the cold winter months, won't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's nice to have something to look forward to now that we're on the kind of come down from it.
Yeah. Okay, so we're looking for somebody who might be going to Australia, somebody who might be going to the United States of America to keep Bonnie going on her journey around the world and back to Sweden by May. Great. Congratulations again, Gráinne.
Thanks very much, Gráinne.
Thank you. See you. Bye.
Thank
bye,
you.
Bye,
bye, bye.
Bye, 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 bye. A baby, let me be your loving teddy bear. Rosie, teddy bear on RT Radio 1. Just a reminder, Conor Pope will be with us after 4 o'clock. He's our consumer champion. So if you have any consumer issues you want him to deal with, pricewatch@rte.ie. And a reminder about our Christmas at the Castle show, December 9th, live from Dublin Castle. We'll be occupying the beautiful Bedford Hall. There will be a Christmas market outside. We will have mulled wine and mince pies. The room will be festooned with baubles and tinsel and Christmas lights twinkling. It'll be a winter Christmas wonderland. And we want you to be there. Now, you can't email us. That's the reason I'm coming back to it. You can't email us. You have to go to our website and fill in the form. So rte.ie/Ray. There's a little form there. Not too involved. Fill it in, send it off to us, and hopefully we'll be seeing you on December 9th. We need you available from 2 o'clock on the day up in Dublin Castle, and loads of surprises, and it's going to be a bit of crack and loads of music and fun and all the good stuff. Right, Anish Doshi now in the Preskelton and Oakta, Le Catlin Niculon. Gurmaga, Kathleen, thank you very much. 515 on rate.ie. Maeve has been on. I inherited a copy of the 1977 Bandon Grammar Cookbook from my late mum. I'm originally from Cork and still recognise names of contributors from way back then. It's a great book, says Maeve. 45 years on, there's a new copy. You'll have to get yourself one, Maeve. I'm going to Australia on the 2nd of February 23. Can I help get Bonnie that far? Thanks for the offer, Elizabeth. We'll see what we can do. And Joanne is heading to Melbourne on the 23rd. That must be the 23rd of December. That's too soon because Bonnie is now winging its way to her way, their way to Taiwan. So that's the destination for the moment. But thanks for those offers. Now, it's time for our quiz, Reel in the Ears. Two quizzers standing by in the prize, which is a two-night stay. B&B in the Fota Island Resort. Relax in luxury in one of the gorgeous suites overlooking 780 acres of lush countryside. Unwind at Fota Island Spa or experience a game of golf on one of the three magnificent championship golf courses There are also many dining options throughout the resort. So it's two nights stay for two, photoisland.ie. photoisland.ie. Hello, Anthony.
Hi, Ray. How's it going? How
are you, Anthony? So good. Well, I have this nasty little annoying cough that won't go away. But apart from that, I'm fine.
I heard the show. Yeah. So, yeah. Very good.
Apologies about that. No problem. Are you in Cork?
I am in Cork. Indeed, I am.
So, if you win, you won't have far to go.
It'll save me on petrol anyway.
Yes. And you're not originally from Cork.
No, I'm from Ballinskellig, down in the southwest.
Oh, right. That's a beautiful part of the country.
Lovely, indeed, it is.
And do you travel back there much?
I'm just on my way back from there now.
Oh, so right.
Heading home. Yeah.
And you can see out to the two Skelligs.
You can indeed, yes. Beautiful part of the world indeed.
Yeah. And that's where you were brought up?
Yes. Yeah. Born and reared there.
Lucky man. Do you appreciate that sort of scenery when you're a kid?
I suppose you don't until you get older and when you come away from it.
Yes, yeah.
Then you do appreciate it.
Yeah, then you do. Who's at home when you get home?
My wife Amy and my two boys, Blaise and Jared. They're 8 and 6.
Right.
So, all excited for Christmas.
Of course.
And all that racket, yeah.
And the Late Late Toy Show on Friday night.
Yes. Yeah, they had a late night Friday night.
Yeah, and they enjoyed it all.
They enjoyed it. Yeah, oh, they did. We all did. Yeah.
Eight and six is a magical. That's magical now, the two of them.
It's a great age.
Yeah. Especially if it is perfect, yeah. You're up against Derek Lloyd from Swords. How are you doing, Derek?
Good, right, yourself?
Good. Did you have a good weekend?
Did, yeah. We had the late night show, the whole family over on Friday, and a bit of a lie in then Saturday. Then the rest of the weekend just kind of flew in.
Yeah. Who'd you watch it with?
Well, my wife Karen, then we had our five children and our three grandchildren.
Right.
And one fiancé.
Full house.
Full house, right, yeah. We try to do it every year for the show.
Say again?
We try to do it every year for the toy show.
Yeah. Nice tradition, nice family tradition.
Exactly.
You're a truck driver, you're still on the road, but pulled in, which is great.
I am,
And are you on dinner duty this evening?
No, it's hopefully, well, if I win today, it definitely won't be.
Say again?
If I win today,
right.
I
believe there's bolognese in the freezer anyway. That's an easy option.
Exactly.
Okay, you know the deal, lads. Three questions each. If you go for a long clip, you get a point. If you go for a shorter clip, you get 2 points. Whoever gets the most on points is the winner. And if it's a draw on points, we go to a tie-break question. Good luck to you both. Here we go.
Best luck, Derek.
Good luck, Anthony.
Okay, Anthony, the year is 2016, 6 years ago, and we're starting at the movies. Do you want to go long or short?
I'll go short.
Short, okay. 3 minutes into a US Airways flight, a plane was struck by a flock of birds. This 2016 biographical drama is based on the emergency landing on the Hudson River. Can you name the film?
Sully.
There you go, Sully. I was going to play it. I'll play it anyways. Sully, okay. Yeah, there you go.
This is the captain. Brace for impact.
Yeah, brilliant movie, isn't it? Tom Hanks.
I've seen it, actually.
You haven't seen it? Well, you should watch it. Great movie and a great story, obviously. Sully, two points for you. Right, to you, Derek, 2016 at the movies. Do you want to go long or short?
I suppose I'll go short.
Okay. Based on the book of the same name, this mystery thriller followed an alcoholic divorcee as she tried to piece together a missing person investigation. Can you name the movie? Here's your short clip.
You just watched me suffer. You made me feel so worthless. You made me think that everything was my fault.
And it is.
Is it The Girl on the Train?
It is. That was Emily Blunt, The Girl on the Train. 2 points. You two are good. Right. Two all. On to the second question for you, Anthony. It's music from 2016. What do you want to do?
I'll go short.
Right. Known for wearing dramatic wigs and covering her face in public, the singer-songwriter released this song in 2016. Can you name her or the song?
Hit the Dance Floor is the song, is it?
Say again?
Is it Hit the Dance Floor, the dance song?
No.
The song?
No.
No.
And do you want to... Yeah, that's your guess there. So it's Sia and Cheap Thrills.
Right, no.
Okay, radio, you wouldn't have known that. I can tell by your voice. Yeah. So, Derek, a chance for you to go in front now. Music from 2016. Do you want to go long or short?
Oh, I think I'll go long.
Long, okay. once part of a hugely popular boy band that came together in a popular reality TV show, this singer nearly didn't continue because he didn't want to dance. Can you name the song or the singer? Long clip, here we go. Nobody but you, body but me, body but us, bodies together. I love to hold you close tonight and always. Now, any ideas?
Oh, I'll just guess, Ray. I'll say Harry Styles.
No.
Okay.
Right band, wrong person. Zayn Malik and Pillow Talk. He was in One Direction, but yeah. So you're evenly matched here. Still on two. Neither good on the music. We're on to the final question, which is news and current affairs. Anthony, what do you want to do, long or short?
I'll go short again.
Short, okay. This Mayo man was the first Fine Gael leader to see two consecutive terms in government as he was elected Taoiseach in May of 2016. Can you name him?
And that's why we have to keep it going. The big signals here are very strong. Unemployment down.
Who's that?
Endogany.
Yes, correct. 2 points. So you're on four. You can't do anything else. Derek, you sort of have to go short. If you get it right, it takes us to a tiebreak question. Get it wrong, and Anthony is today's winner. Okay, news and current affairs. This UK Prime Minister announced his intention to step down as Prime Minister following the results of the 2016 EU referendum. Can you name him? Short clip.
I want to thank everybody here in West Oxfordshire who've been so supportive. It has been a great honour and privilege.
Well,
is it David Cameron?
It is David Cameron. Yes, it is.
Oh.
So we have a draw on our hands, 4-all, which brings us to our tiebreak question. It's like penalties here. So we asked you this question before you went on air. I'm going to repeat it now. There, you got the cough from me.
No, it's me.
So we're going to repeat it now for our listeners at home, and whoever answers closest to the correct answer is today's winner. According to Google Maps, how long would it take you to walk from Carrickmacross in County Monaghan to Carrick-on-Shannon in County Leitrim? Anthony, your guess was...
8 hours, 14 minutes. But no idea.
You have no idea. It's 105 and a half kilometres, just so you know. Your guess, Derek?
Well, the fact of that is 8 hours and 40 minutes.
So it's 8 hours and 14 and 8 hours and 40, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Both of you are very wrong, but one person is less wrong than the other, if you know what I mean. So the correct answer is 21 hours and 41 minutes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, which means that, Derek, you're closest to the correct answer.
Well done, Derek.
Sorry about that.
Oh, thanks, Anthony.
Not at all.
Yeah, Anthony, we're going to send you out a Radar Show. Keep cup.
Absolutely brilliant.
Nice talking to you. Mind yourself.
Thanks very
safe
much.
Home.
Appreciate
See you now. Bye now. Bye. Good That's up. Anthony Sogru there on his way back to Cork. Derek Lloyd, well done.
Thanks a million.
You're heading off to Fota Island Resort. It sounds like an amazing place to stay.
Brilliant.
So much to do. And you can check out what's in store for you. Fotaisland.ie. Fotaisland.ie.
Right, really
well done, Derek.
Thank
okay,
you.
See
Thank
you now.
So
bye, bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Any suggestions how I get rid of this annoying cough, please? 51551 ray@rte.ie. We're talking to Conor Pope after a bit of Juliet Turner. One of those great radio records. Juliet Turner, Everything Beautiful is Burning on RTE Radio 1. Good afternoon, Conor Pope.
Ray Darcy, how are you?
Not too bad.
I've been told, by the way, that it takes a good 6 weeks for a cough to clear up.
Oh, God, no.
Now, I have to say my medical background is limited to watching House on the television, so I'm not necessarily the one to be trusted on that, but I have heard that, yeah. And when I heard it, I sighed like you and I thought, God almighty.
Well, they when I asked for that advice, Niamh from outside clicked in to tell me that there's a thing doing the rounds on TikTok where they suggest that you put an onion in your sock while you're going to bed. Now, their medical qualifications would be similar to yours, Conor, I'd imagine.
And anything that suggests you put an onion in a sock before you go to bed can probably be discounted immediately because it's not 13.50.
As in the year, as opposed to the cost.
As in the year, as opposed to the time.
Go to health food store, cough bottle, Puka. With elderberry syrup, guaranteed to get rid of cough in 24 hours. Did the job for me. So it's nice and sweet.
Again, I would dispute that. And do you know what? Actually, I've written about cough syrups.
Have you?
And the reality is that a lot of them, now I wouldn't want to be besmirching the reputation of any cough syrup, but a lot of them are basically just sugar water. And if you talk to any pharmacist, you know, they will alleviate the symptoms for a brief time, but they're not going to really treat the root cause of the cough. And sometimes you just have to ride it out. Now, there is a couple of brands out there that I'm not even going to suggest because they'd be fairly laced with codeine. And obviously that comes with its own risks.
Yes,
but,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You'd have to talk to your pharmacist, Ray.
Marion and Kerry, or Marion and Kerry. Hi, Ray, for your cough, get a turnip and slice it. In a bowl, layer the slices with brown sugar in between, cover with cling film and leave overnight in the fridge. A liquid will form. Take a couple of teaspoons a day of this juice. Cured, says Marion and Kerry.
What kind of... What? I swear to God, I think we've travelled back through time, Ray.
Yes.
You know, and you've so got gonna, some kind of weird...
I'm going to do that with the onion in my sock. And Manuka honey, Ray, a bit of lemon and ginger. Bingo, says somebody else.
Yeah. Actually, the Manuka honey thing is a phenomenal... It is a phenomenal thing. Yeah. And if you buy the right Manuka honey, it can actually work wonders.
You see, I suppose the problem is that for a lot of people, so you decide to take one of these suggestions, like putting an onion in your sock or whatever, and your cough is coming to an end anyway. So you do it, as suggested on TikTok or Connor Pope or whoever, and then you do it and the cough stops, and you, of course, associate the cough stopping with that when it's not that case at all. It was going to stop anyway. Do you see what I'm saying?
Exactly. But you know what? I follow, I look at a lot of Instagram, I don't have a TikTok account, but I have a lot of, I look at a lot of Instagram videos on, you know, how to make your house smell fragrant and how to clean your cooker and your shower. Right. And a lot of the time I follow those advice, and like, it's like lemon and baking soda or yes, whatever it might be. And you know what? Most of it is just nonsense. Like, you know, and they promise you the earth. Like, remember there was that whole notion about how we've been eating pineapples the wrong way. And there was this viral sensation that, you know, and it turned out that if you pick at a pineapple in a certain way, you can screw off the little segments. It doesn't work. In the same way that peeling garlic, though that was another viral sensation, didn't work. I've just been let down and brokenhearted by social
poor
media
thing.
So
you're
often.
Poor thing.
I know.
Now, you don't let people down, and neither does this perennial, because it comes up every year, at least twice a year. It is the vouchers. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
And people are going to be thinking about what they'll buy for friends, family, work colleagues. And of course, a lot of people go the voucher route because it's fail-safe, really, you would think. Anyway, this came into Pricewatch at RTE.ie. I'm sure you must have heard this before, but I feel it needs to be highlighted at every opportunity. This is my own fault and I should have spent the money the day I got it. In brief, between COVID, moving house and a busy life, I mislaid two 50-euro one-for-all vouchers that I received for my birthday in March 2017. This morning I found the vouchers in the safe place where I had put them. In brief, from March 2018, 12 months after purchase, one-for-all removed 145 management charges and did so every month until, by January 2021, the value amounted to zero. While the vouchers were lying in an envelope in a drawer in my house, one-for-all were managing to extract 145 each month from their value. I know that the legislation on vouchers did not come into force until 2019, but surely reducing the value from 50 euro to zero in 3 years needs to be called out.
Yeah, as you say, this is an old perennial. It happens every single year, and sometimes it happens a couple of times a year. But just to clarify a couple of points for the listener, the legislation on vouchers did come into effect in 2019, and that dramatically overhauled the how vouchers work. But it didn't make any changes to the management fee that voucher companies can impose. What it did was it said that vouchers can either not have an expiry limit or must have an expiry limit of at least 5 years. Now, that was the single biggest problem that people had with vouchers, because you could buy a voucher and then 6 months later it could expire, or a year later it could expire, and people were legitimately saying, well, listen, cash doesn't expire, so why should my voucher expire? So the legislation tackled that. Now, it did nothing to with management fees, and all of these companies that offer kind of gift cards, be it One for All or the Dundrum Town Centre or name any kind of gift card like that, they will routinely charge management fees. Now, what they say is they're keeping the money in a safe account. That's going to come with costs. So if you don't use the money, it's costing them money. So as a result, they're imposing these management fees. It is really important to stress that the fees don't kick in for the first 12 months. So what we've said on the show before still stands up today. When you get your voucher, spend it. Mm. Because if you don't spend it, A, the money is not circulating in the economy, so it's not creating jobs and it's not doing all of the benefits. It's not doing all the fun things that it should be doing in the economy. But more importantly, you're running the risk of incurring these management fees. And it's going to probably become more important this year than it ever has been, because under legislation, under changes to revenue, employers are now allowed to gift their employees a tax benefit in voucher form up to €1,000. Now, in times past, the cap on that was €500.
Right.
So that means you could get a voucher from your employer for €1,000 and you don't pay any tax on it. And there's an awful lot more and better vouchers out there now. So it's going to become an issue. The only thing I can say to people is that One for All and whatever other voucher company that you care to mention have been charging these fees for donkey's years. It's not new. People can criticise it, and I'm sure those companies are very used to the criticism, but the thing is, it's a fact of life, and the only way you can avoid those charges is to use the cards. And it's really important to use those cards because we've talked in the past, Ray, about the multiplier effect of money. So when you spend money in the economy, well, then it gets circulated. So if I have a voucher, right, now, and I use it to buy something in Arnott's or Brown Thomas or Tesco or wherever it might be. Tesco is probably a bad example because it's a massive English company. But if I was to use it in a local shop in my neighbourhood, that money then gets circulated again and again and again in the economy. So not only am I contributing to the local economy, creating employment and buying something that I like for myself, I'm also avoiding the charges.
Yeah, but come on. To mind €50 wherever they mind it, costing €17.40 a year. What?
Oh, absolutely. No, listen. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I think the fees could probably be looked at. But, you know, this is...
Like, where did that come from? It sounds very random. You know,
Of course it is. But like, if you want to compare it to other cards, I mean, the One For All obviously has the €145
fee. €17.40 a year.
The Dundrum Town Card Centre, meanwhile, has a monthly service charge of €3 after a year. A Me To You card, which is an initiative of retail excellence, charges €140 a month once the card is 13 months old. So the €140, you're right. It probably bears no relationship to the actual cost of managing that money, let's be fair.
Yes.
But it's the charge that all of the companies kind of have settled upon. And as I say, like there's nothing in the legislation to stop any card company doing that. I can understand some charge.
That was an omission then from the... Because we thought when we heard about the legislation coming in on vouchers that it was going to be a new dawning, a new era.
Oh, and do you know what? It is. Let's not be entirely negative because vouchers are much more attractive now than they were in times past.
Let's just use them when you get them.
No, but you're right. And we wrote about it in the Irish Times frequently, and I think we probably talked about it on your show frequently, that I think there should have been some kind of restriction put in place on management fees for companies.
Yeah.
Now, I can't say now how much it actually costs to maintain these cards, but I can say that there should be something. There should have been some fees, but it does reflect on how people are reluctant, or sometimes they just forget the cards, like our listener. So, for instance, in the financial statements that were published last year for the company behind One For All cards in Ireland and Britain, One For All customers had left... I'm going to ask you to guess how much money...
Oh, this is going to annoy me. This is going to annoy me. Yeah.
Like, how much money do you think had been left unused on One For All cards?
Right.
In this financial statement that was published last
year? See, I remember years ago it was something around 50 million or something like that.
One For All cards had left 219 million unused on their cards at the end of 2019. Now, that's a lot of money. And imagine if you were to say, OK, and that's just one gift card company. So if you were to extrapolate that out and say, OK, look at all the gift cards that are circulating out there, there is probably hundreds of millions of euros out there that people could be spending on gift cards. But for one reason or another, like our listener, they were moving house and then COVID happened and all sorts of other things. You know, people forget about them. And I probably have quite a few gift cards in my own house for like... €20 or €12 or whatever it might be. You know, you use a portion of them, but you don't use them all. And then you put them in a drawer and you never see them again. So I just think that this Christmas, we should all resolve that if we do get gift cards, to just run out and buy stuff that we might actually get use of. And I'm not talking about just buying junk for the sake of junk. But
can I ask you that we don't have a breakdown because it's part of a bigger company, how much One For All vouchers make?
No, but all of these companies, they're in business and they're legitimately entitled to make a profit. You know, we all like absolutely,
yeah, of course.
And any company is entitled to make a profit. So,
we can choose to buy them or not buy them.
And absolutely. And, you know, we can say, well, I think the management fees are unfair and company X.
Yes.
And then you go to company Y and you realise, well, they're charging management fees
they're
too.
Similar, yes,
or you go to company Z and it's the same thing. Yeah. It's par for the course in this country and it's par for the course in that system. And I think more probably could be done to highlight it. But I think the key thing to highlight this year, as indeed every year, Ray, is if you get vouchers, spend them and have a bit of crack with them.
Connor, we're doing our little bit. Okay. Vicks Vapor Rub on the soles of your feet. Cough Cons is Connor. They'll be doing all sorts of weird things. Fresh ginger, garlic and turmeric simmered in hot water for 5 minutes. Add honey to taste. Disgusting, but works the treats at Joe and Galway. And that turnip juice remedy for coughs is a very well-known old remedy. You should try it. It came from my dad's mother. My dad was born in 1912. Right. I swear by a nettle pot to clear out my sinuses. A neti pot to clear my sinuses when I have a bad cough or a cold. If you can stomach cleaning out your nose every day, it's a great for prevention too. And finally, how about taking a bath with some Vicks in it? The steam will help your chest and the vapours from the Vicks will help. A few Epsom salts in it too will be beneficial. So hopefully I'll try some of those and I'll be back tomorrow cough free. Somebody's suggestion as well, it's a leftover from COVID. Seemingly other people have had a cough weeks and months after they got COVID. Connor, thanks so much.
Bye.
Pricewatch at rte.ie if you want Connor's help on any consumer issues. That's it from us. Sarah and Cormac are on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Monday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.